Always.
We are live. This is the Embodiment of Soul Care. My name is Casey. This is my lovely sister-in-law, Kelly. And this is podcast number 10. So last week we talked about free will and, being consciously being the avatar in the game of life. It was a pretty fun podcast. If you didn't watch it, as always, you know, week to week, it's kind of a continuation of the one previously. So go ahead and feel free to tap into that one before or after this one, because we'll definitely be illuminating further on some of the concepts that we talked about. But tonight we're going to dig into self-forgiveness,
yeah,
God question, and rediscovering your own inner voice. A lot of content. It should be a really good podcast. We had a fun conversation this week and dug in pretty deep. So we'll see just how far down the rabbit hole we go today. But I did want to mention, so anyone watching this in real time, it is June 18th tonight. Tomorrow we'll be launching this on June 19th. And the solstice is on Saturday on the 20th. So we are currently in the solstice window, usually about 3 days before and 3 days after is a really powerful time. And I was just connecting today. Remember last week in the podcast, I had said, how last December solstice in 2019 was so powerful, in my opinion. You know, it just felt like such a powerful portal and opening. And I thought, oh, how cool, right? So this is like the sister solstice, you know, the brother solstice to that really powerful one. So as beautiful as the equinoxes are, you know, this beautiful time of balance and inner harmony, the solstices are really cool because they're powerful in a bit more of an out there kind of way, you know? Really bringing things to the fore. So what a perfect time, right? So just kind of wanted to presence us to being in the solstice window and doing this podcast in that window, which is pretty cool. There's, you know, I was going to say up front, like there's a lot, it was kind of nice, you know, we took a week off, we decided to do this podcast bi-weekly, and that's actually sitting really well with both Kelly and I, just giving, you know, just kind of some of our thoughts and things time to ruminate and percolate and, you know, cause kind of week to week, there's really so much happening, in our own lives, in your life, in the collective, you know? And so it's kind of giving it time to sit, to settle, you know, we play with ideas kind of throughout the weeks and then, you know, really coalesce right before the podcast. So this week in particular, there's a lot of content we want to cover, and I'm just surrendering to spirit that the perfect, you know, the perfect content will come through. What's meant to be said will be said. So I kind of just wanted to put that out there at the beginning so I can kind of, you know, just calm my nerves. I'm like, oh my God, am I going to get through it all? Am I going to say it all? Because there is some, you know, pretty deep material tonight, and I'm just trusting it's like, okay, you know, we're going to say the perfect things as always, but just wanted to put that out there and surrender it. You know, tonight we are going to dive into talking about our factory settings. And, this is something Kelly and I were discussing. It's like, you know, last week we talked about, you know, we are the creators, you know, collectively, we've created this reality called Earth and the universe, you know, and we created a template and a playing field for it and kind of some rules, you know, to play the game by, and that's what we all live in day to day. But we also kind of came in to these like factory settings, you know, so there's, you know, it could be from the society you're born into. It could be from the parents that you chose. You know, kind of even your, let's say, astrological calendar, right? You know, when you chose to be born, the day, the time, those kinds of things. So, you know, you kind of have these like default factory settings. And I think that that's a lot of, we spoke a lot last week about, are you living from the unconscious place and the voice of ego, or are you living from the more conscious place and the voice of spirit? And we spoke a lot about that. And when you're coming from your factory settings, you're pretty much mostly in that loop of living from the unconsciousness. And what we really want to talk about tonight is rediscovering your inner voice that allows you to not speak from or think from those more factory settings. Maybe it's, you know, what your parents said to you growing up that now you notice, well, when you're unconscious, you don't notice it. But once you become conscious, you're like, wow, I sound just like them. You know, did something previously in my life that a friend thought I should do, but actually, you know, maybe that wasn't my truth. You know, kind of discerning what is your voice, what is your truth. So that's a lot of what we're going to dig into tonight. And the cool thing that really sparked my thinking the last couple weeks was like, okay, so if we're largely living from the unconscious loop, how do you make those things conscious? You know, if they're just these factory settings and we're just kind of plodding along because that's how we're programmed and those are our patterns, how do we interrupt some of that? How do we become conscious of, you know, those loops and just the duality and the polarity that we kind of, you know, are constantly cycling in? So it's kind of like shining a light, you know, it's like, how do we shine a light and make what's unconscious conscious now that we can access it? So I was going to address one of the very biggest things, which is so up, I think, in all of our faces personally, and certainly in the collective, as you look out there, you know, it's kind of like this blame game. And that's, you know, it's kind of what I'm going to call it. It's like, we're constantly projecting outside, looking for who's to blame. You know, right now it's just a one big blame game out there. And that's on the macro level. But if you take it down to the micro level and you look at your own life, you probably have some of that going on. You know, I mean, I certainly, I'm saying this from experience, you know, over the years. It's like you're constantly looking for who's to blame, who's at fault, who did what happened, you know, and then point the finger. You know, and there's that old saying, like when you point the finger, you know, there's three fingers pointing back at you. And there is such power in that, especially as we spoke about last week with being the creator. If you, number one, are the creator of this reality collectively in general, and you're also the personal creator of your own experience in life, then the catch is who's to blame? If you're the creator and you're creating it, who's to blame? Well, there's really only one place to go. You know, we want to be the us versus them, and it's them, whoever they are, right? There's always a them, because that's kind of how we've wired ourselves. If we can point to them, we don't have to point to us. We don't have to deal with perhaps our role in what's going on, you know? And I think that that's really, when you go down the rabbit hole, that's what's down there. You know, you find out that you could point the finger right back at yourself. And the cool part about that is that that's where the power is, right? You know, and we've spoken a lot about this, but you actually have power when you can own that for yourself, because then you can do something about it. That's in your control. You know, if you're part of that, you can now do something about it, versus if it is totally outside of you, you can't do anything about it. And that also points to, you know, the God question, because it's like there's kind of three entities in general you could blame, you know, for whatever's going on, whether it's personally or collectively. You're either saying, well, it's them, whoever they are, you know, it could be a big group, could be one person, whatever. You could also say it's God's fault. You know, I mean, the deepest question is, why does God allow bad things to happen on the planet, right? If God is all loving, and if God is only love, then why do bad things happen here? I mean, I know that that's where my journey started for sure. It's like very early in life, I was like, no, I gotta figure this out, you know, because I don't want to be on my knees when I'm 30 or 40 or 50 and something really rocks me and I'm on my knees asking why, God, why? Like, I want to kind of know that answer before I'm just leveled on my knees, you know, and have some sense of it, you know, because I know deep in my heart and deep in my soul that God is pure love. I know that. And I know that I am connected to that love and that I am that love. But how does that jive with what you see out in the world? You know, because the rub is, it's like, you know, I kind of briefly mentioned this in the podcast last week, but it's like, if we are the creator of our reality, are we creating then, you know, the bad things and the hard things and the negative things that we see outside of us? We got to take credit for that too, because it's like, we all like to think we're the good ones. Well, I'm the good guy. You know, no, that stuff's not me. The pretty stuff, that's me. That's all me. But that ugly stuff, that's got to be them. Or something else, or even God's fault, because that certainly ain't my fault, right? But there's no power in that. So when you really take on 100% personal responsibility, and this is what we're dealing with, people don't want to take personal responsibility. We don't want to take personal responsibility for our own problems. We certainly don't want to take personal responsibility for the problems out there. It's like, no, that's out there. I've got nothing to do with that. You know, so the more that you kind of dig away at the layers and go down that rabbit hole, it's just, it's a view you can consider that what if you do have power inside of that, you know, and what if it's not God's fault or their fault? Which makes it an interesting question, right? For you, it's like the words blame and shame and guilt and fault, right? They carry this really heavy weight. I mean, it's no wonder that forgiveness is so hard, right? Because we are so trapped by the heaviness of what we're judging. And that's kind of, you know, what it boils down to. It's like, if you're still judging inside yourself at yourself, you're going to project that judgment out onto the world. And that's partially why we talked about this back in podcast two, the power of perception. That's why we perceive the world as we perceive it, because we're trying to get the judgment out of ourselves. I want it out. And this is an unconscious thing. This is not conscious, but unconsciously we're saying, I don't want anything to do with this. I want to get away from this. I don't like feeling guilty. So I'm going to project it out onto the world. And now I'm going to see guilt in everybody else. And this is an ego thing. The ego is saying, oh, ha, I came up with a perfect plan. If I project it out and everyone else is at fault, I'm innocent. I'm just an innocent little ego. Don't blame me. I'm innocent, right? So we all kind of play the same game. But then you've got all these other little egos out there. Well, I'm innocent too. This isn't my responsibility. So you've got a bunch of people, you know, and none of us really want to take responsibility. So just something to play with. But I wanted to, but here's the thing. Because it's like, if, and then I'll get back to the story piece in a second. But it's like, if you dig down into the guilt, here's what I think the guilt is. You know, we talked about free will last week. It's like, we feel guilty that we used our free will and we created some really beautiful things. We create them constantly, but we also create really negative, hard things. And so even if you want to call it a collective guilt, which all of us as a personal ego are part of that collective ego, you know, that has this guilt. It's like, I can't trust myself. And you talked about this last week, Kelly, with the trust piece. And it's like, it's kind of like, I can't trust myself to create what's only beautiful, to create what's only love. Why? Because look at what I see around me. I see a lot of things that are beautiful and are love, but I see a lot of things that aren't, you know? So it really boils down to, if you really want to dig in deep, there is a part of you that feels guilty for what you've created out in the world. And you're like, I can't trust myself. Because look what I've done. God gave me free will, and look what I did with it. I am guilty. And so this loops back to what I said before, where you don't want to feel that. You do not want to feel the crushing weight of that guilt and that sense of, oh my God, it's my fault, even partially, right? I'm part of that collective ego. And so we project it out. And that's partially why the world looks the way it looks, with a bunch of people constantly mudslinging and constantly projecting it outside of them, rather than bringing it back to inner peace. I mean, why do we have such a hard time centering, being inside ourselves, being quiet, really pursuing what would bring us inner peace? We say we want inner peace, but there's so many things we do that is not actively bringing us inner peace, because we can't actually sit and be still with ourselves because of that deep down guilt. Like I'm saying, this is just an angle that you could look at for maybe why things in your life continually, maybe you can't get to that deepest layer. You know, maybe you've done some spiritual work. Maybe you've done some past life regression or this, or, you know, other things trying to heal. And maybe, you know, for me, this was a core layer that when I dug that deep, it was like, oh, wow. You know, it really, really got to something like a bedrock, you know. And we wanted to throw this in there. So we wanted to talk about the storyteller, because so much of this, if what you hear, you know, what I'm saying, there is a storyteller behind what I'm saying. So the ego, when the ego tells the story, it's very heavy. It's very weighty. It's very, oh my gosh, you know, God is going to punish us. I mean, why do you think cultures throughout time have had this sense of like God's punishing them or waiting for God's punishment? You know, yes, God is only love, but God is also this punisher. And even if you're not particularly religious, we still, in our factory settings, have something inside of us that's saying, you know, maybe you're waiting for your parents to punish you, or it's like, you know, you're kind of like walking on eggshells. Why is that? You know, because it's kind of buried deep down. Oh, but the storyteller. So when your ego is the storyteller, it's going to tell one particular type of story and keep you in that unconscious loop, because that's the game that it wants to play. And then when you listen to the storyteller of spirit, there is only one story spirit will ever tell, because spirit is constantly connected to the voice of God, the pure voice of God that's pure love, that's completely outside of the nitty-gritty of what's going on in this world, you know, completely outside of that, that only holds everything and holds space and holds everything in unconditional love, you know, and that the voice of spirit has access to that. Always, 100% of the time. That's what we've talked about, that light and that purity of who you really are. You know, the ego doesn't have access and doesn't want to access it, you know, because it doesn't trust itself. It's kind of cordoned itself off. It's basically like quarantined itself, you know, in essence. And it's telling a story within the quarantine that can't see outside of the quarantine. You know, but spirit has access to all of it and all knowledge and knows at its core, absolutely, you know, that we are always held in the unconditional love of God, no matter what. So on the storyteller piece, you know, this is kind of like the most basic, you know, in terms of like power of perception or looking at events either in your past or events that are occurring now, whether in your own life or in the world. So we kind of wanted to just break it down and have a little fun with this. So there's basically what happened, right? So things happen in life, you know, whatever it might be. You know, something in your marriage, or something happens with a family member, or something's happening outside in the world right now that you see on the news. It may not be in your personal life, but you're seeing it happen, and it's in your reality because you're now watching it and, you know, kind of making it a part of your reality by doing so. You know, and at its core, what happens is just what happens. You know, I mean, you could almost call it a neutral event.
Yeah.
And then the charge comes when you have your perception. So now you've got your perception or your lens, which is also what we're calling the voice. You know, are you listening to the voice of spirit, or are you listening to the voice of ego? And what comes out of that is your story. And your story is everything. Your story is what holds all the charge. You know, events in and of themselves are largely neutral. The voice is either going to be, you know, like I said, ego or spirit, which kind of, in that sense, you know, ego is going to polarize everything. It's going to turn everything into duality, good, bad, right, wrong. And then what comes out the other side on that equation, of course, then translates into your story. So your story is going to have good, bad, right, wrong. If you're listening to the voice of ego, there's always going to be a good guy, a bad guy. He did this right. He did this wrong. How could he have done that? How could she have done that? How could he say that to me? How could this be happening? You know, who came up with this, right? Like, so what, you know, we wanted to kind of dig into, and where we want to bring the power back is to you and the stories you're telling, largely about yourself. You know, and like I said, that guilt one could be a story deep down that you're telling. And it's very different. If you look at it through, or, you know, the storyteller is ego, it's going to sound one way. Like I said, it's going to be really heavy and kind of dramatic. And oh my gosh, how could you have done that? How could you abuse your free will like that? That's terrible. You're going to be punished, right? Loop, loop, loop. And if you're listening to the voice of spirit, the voice of spirit says, no, you are always at home with God. You are always held in pure love, no matter what you've done, no matter what anyone else has done. You know, you always have access to that pure home with love. And so, you know, a little bit later, I mean, it's just kind of funny, or very powerful to, you can almost go back through, like, let's take, you know, a story that maybe happened to you, some event that happened to you. Maybe it was in your family, or maybe it was in high school or something, you know, and to just go back and see now, let's say it's 20 years later for you and you have some perspective on it, right? Can you take a story of something that happened in your past, see it more from the witness standpoint, from the observer standpoint, and reinterpret it through the lens of spirit and see if it feels different, right? I mean, something that may have been really dramatic for you in high school, you look back on it now, you're like, oh, I totally get it, right? Like, you know, like you understand and you see and you're like, oh, you know, we were all just doing the best we could with what we knew at the time and what was important to us. And, you know, now that you know so much more, you've grown or you've deepened or you've, you know, centered more inside yourself, you can see such a different perspective on it. And then now you would tell literally a completely different story about what had happened, you know, because it's like you're not so attached anymore. And that truthfully is the power we have in every moment of every day. Because that's what human beings are. I mean, we're constantly walking around making meaning out of everything and making up stories. And the big thing is, you know, who's going to be your storyteller? So on the storyteller note, I'll just throw this in real quick. I was going to expand on I started with the Adam and Eve story last week in terms of, like, you know, kind of the myth of creation, right? And this kind of goes back to the guilt piece and who's your storyteller. So Adam and Eve, you know, are in the garden, right? And they're frolicking in the Garden of Eden and it's lovely. And they're at one with God, not separate from anything. You know, and then they take the apple and boom, the consciousness splits and they're outside of the Garden of Eden because now they live in a world of duality. Now they're now on the rat wheel of duality and they're ashamed. And this is what I'm saying. You know, there's a deep level of shame and guilt. And if you can start to access some of that, you can start to heal it. You know, you can start to forgive yourself. I mean, in that moment, if they had just listened to the voice of spirit, you know, the voice of spirit would have said, it's okay. You can go home to God at any moment that you want. You know, he, she is always there with open, loving arms ready to accept you. But no, they weren't listening. They were now cut off. They were now in their story and their lens of perception called, oh, we did something wrong. Now we're kicked out. And now we've got to toil and suffer, you know? And so it's kind of this whole reason of why do we suffer? And how can we come out of the suffering? How can we bring the unconscious to the conscious is to forgive that. And this is where our idea of self-forgiveness is coming into play. You know, it's like, what is deep down, perhaps running your show and running your unconscious that's keeping you stuck in some of these loops that if you brought it to the light of day and you forgive yourself for it, you know, could be little things, could be big things. But it's like, you know, how much power would that hold for you? And that was kind of, I mean, I played with that actually a lot the last 2 weeks, especially when things were either coming out, you know, that I was watching in the world or that was coming. I literally, in the last 2 weeks, rewrote a story of mine of something that had happened to me. It was really big for me energetically, like in the last 5 years. And I really wanted to get complete with it. And so I did do an energy session with someone to kind of help dig deeper into some of what was running that. And there, you know, was some kind of like karmic pieces and all of that that we were really able to put to rest. And then with her help, you know, and then one little thing she said literally shifted like 180, the whole story for me. And I was able to just like be free of it almost in an instant, literally, because the story was rewritten like that. And so I did a little work, you know, Ho'oponopono. I did some just self-forgiveness. I'm like, oh, sweetie, I get it. You know, so this big thing that you've really been big for you and driving you for the last 5 years and really causing like some down, you know, like angst and just like, oh, and then was just free, you know, in a moment because I rewrote the story. You know, if Adam and Eve had just rewritten their story, you know, it could have, you know, the myth, right? And so the cool part, so the second part of this Adam and Eve piece, if you think about the story of the prodigal son, it's exactly what I'm saying. You know, so the prodigal son, for anyone who isn't too familiar with it, you know, he's at home at his parents' house and it's great and they provide everything for him. You know, that's who God is. God provides everything. You know, everything is provided inside of being at home with God. And the prodigal son says, you know what? I'm gonna go off on an adventure, right? I'm gonna go off on an adventure, which was us. Like we jumped off and we said, you know what? We're gonna go off on an adventure. We're gonna create this earth and universe simulation. You know, we're going to go play in this little illusory world we're going to create, and we're going to forget that we're God, and we're going to go play in this little playground, you know, and we kind of set up the parameters and we set up a quarantine around it, you know? So it's like, okay, we're going to go play over here. So the prodigal son said, bye, you know, whether behind it all was, you know, kind of boring here, I could do better, or was it curiosity, or, you know, is it just like wanting to see what it felt like to be God? I don't know, right? You could kind of come up with your own version of it. But so he goes off, and then, you know, as the story goes, he, you know, eventually kind of spends all his money and, you know, ends up going from having a pretty good life to having a pretty poor, destitute, suffering life, you know, which corresponds to how we feel when we have the experience of being on earth when it's hard, you know, when it doesn't feel like love and purity and goodness, and it's just really hard and we feel weighed down. So he's sitting there and he's like, oh, but I can't go back home, right? Like I was a jerk. I was like, check, yeah, I'm out, you know? He's like, I can't go home. I mean, are my parents gonna accept me back? I don't know. And so finally, eventually he decides to go back home, but he thinks he's gonna have to like work his way up. Like, okay, I'm gonna have to like start as maybe like grovel at their feet, maybe start as a slave, beg for forgiveness, you know? And then maybe eventually I can work my way up to be their son again and to be, you know, at home. In the place where I used to be and where I enjoyed and felt loved and cared for. And so he's kind of making it all up in his head and his storyteller's cranking, you know, telling him like, okay, you know, let's kind of manipulate and figure out how we're going to do this. And the second his parents see him, it's like, oh, welcome home. We love you. It's so beautiful to see you. And that is who the energy of God is. That is source. You know, the moment we decide that we're ready to go home, you know, which can happen in any moment we choose, whether we're here on this planet, in the afterlife, or, you know, in the next simulation we decide to participate in, you know, you can go home at any moment and God is just waiting with open arms always. And, you know, if you listen to the voice of spirit tell the story, the voice of spirit says, yeah, go home anytime. You're good. Just go home. God is always there. You are God. God is you. Go home anytime. You're safe. You're good. You know, so it's getting out of that loop. It's getting out of that voice. So that's why I love the story of the prodigal son, because it perfectly describes What voice are you listening to? And I don't know, just this whole story we've created around it all and the suffering that we cause ourselves. I guess that's part of the point of the story, is like he brought the suffering on himself, but he also brought himself out of the suffering. You know, we talked about that last week with the Savior piece. And there's nothing you need to work your way up to. You know, one of the other points I want to make is like this world, you know, as much as really hard things happen here, I do believe it's under quarantine, you know, which is so funny that now we're like all familiar with this term, because it's like what happens here does not touch or affect the love of God in any way. You know, not the worst thing that could ever happen could even touch the purity of that love of God. And that's what's beautiful about it, is like we came here and we created this little experiment in consciousness and this little playground, and we're playing in it. And it was just a, you know, kind of a curiosity question, like, oh, what would happen if we forgot that we were God? Let's go see what happens. And really beautiful things come about and really hard things come about. And that's kind of what we created here. But I don't know. I like that, and I just totally lost my train of thought. But anyways, but I like that piece that ties it back in, you know, to being your own savior. And you can, you know, pop back out when you choose to, and that is within your power, you know. So just kind of a couple of pieces. Maybe we'll do that later, but perfect. But yeah, I like the idea of quarantine, because I think people struggle with, like, I don't know, just in terms of forgiveness. And even if you talk about forgiving yourself, you know, it's like, oh, how could I ever forgive that? That was so terrible. Or what that other person did, you know, was so terrible. And I think we struggle with that. You know, we want justice, and we want, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there's also this realization that it's like, none of us are perfect, you know? So it's like, yes, we want justice out there for things that happen, but it's like, we're all a mixture of all of it. And under the right circumstances, we could all probably do a lot of things that maybe you think you're not capable of, but under the right circumstances, you might. Right? I mean, this is kind of a crazy reality that can put you in some pretty interesting situations. And how do you really know how you would react or behave? You know, you don't always. So it's like, it's very hard to stand in an extremely judgmental position, because if you're judging what's out there so harshly, I guarantee you're judging what's inside yourself very harshly as well. And I know that. I mean, trust me, I'm like one of the biggest perfectionists on the planet. I know all about self-judgment and how detrimental and destructive it is. And I mean, you know, I mean, it's like, so it's just kind of a good thing for you to kind of play with and think about. It's like, if you are feeling that you're in judgment of the world a lot, bring it back to yourself, bring it back to where you do have power and where you do have some control, and look at yourself and say, wow, am I being that judgmental with myself? Am I giving myself any space? Are there things in myself that maybe I need to forgive? And if I had that level of compassion with myself, maybe things out in the world would look a little bit different, or I would at least see them and interpret that story through a different lens and with a different voice. And maybe you'd have more compassion for others as well. So maybe it starts at home. You know, the suggestion is look at yourself and start at home and look for where you can start to forgive yourself. Because opening that door of grace and compassion will spill over to how you view the world and how you view what other people are doing or saying or what's going on. And it'll change your projection, you know, kind of back to what's inside, you're projecting out. And until you can take, you know, personal responsibility for that, it's always going to feel like it's outside of you. So do what you can to bring it back here first. Okay. I'm going to kind of pass it off to you, Kelly. And I know we had a lot, you had some cool stuff to say about, you know, family, and, you know, we were going to kind of, as we were chatting the other day, you know, about the factory settings and the family. And I know that you had a lot of cool things to say on that.
Yeah. And I think that you covered a large portion of, you know, what we were going to address. And the only thing I really had to say about the factory thing that just rings so true for even myself, and coming from a very large family, is that each of us lived the same experience. We had the same parents for a large course of our lives. I'm not saying for the whole entire time, because my brothers and sisters, my older siblings came from different mothers and fathers, and then we all kind of came together like the Brady Bunch. But under the majority of the same roof for a long portion of our lives. And each one of us, you know, experienced a lot of the same stuff, but all of us created a different story of what had happened or how we were treated or how so-and-so was treated. And it all became this like huge influxation of like all of these different stories and all this turmoil. And you have to step back and, like Casey, you talked about, you have to sit there and say, okay, well, we had the neutral story, like the actual neutral event. And now we have created an entire story of chaos, you know, and where your brain sits with it and how you've absorbed all of it or how you've come out of it and how you haven't. And the biggest part of coming out and forgiving, you know, whether it's family or it's a lover or your children or your dog, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that you're forgiving, if you do not, and I know this word is like so easily said, but let go. If you don't let go, if you don't let go of the memory, if you don't let go of the power of that, situation in any way, then of course it's going to hold on to you and you're never going to be able to fully forgive it. It's one of those things where, you know, the emotions sit inside of your body so strongly. And if we don't allow those emotions to leave, then we're going to continually forever go back and forth to that same thing over and over again. You know, oh, well, you know, he told me this and I just can't stand him for that because he said it 15 years ago and I just can't stand him. And it's like, well, you know, you need to forgive that. You need to let go of those things. You need to move past them. You need to get out of that space. You need to completely forgive yourself for holding on to all of that crap for so long. And that's a really big part of it. You know, do forgive yourself for holding on to it, because that's the damage that you've done. It's not what the person said to you 15 years ago or 5 minutes ago or, you know, 100 years ago, whatever the hell the case is. It's the fact that you yourself have never let go of it. That's who needs to be forgiven, is you. And once you forgive yourself for holding on to those things or thinking that you were, you know, badly treated or misunderstood or whatever the case is, then you can start to heal. And misunderstanding is a big one too. You know, most of the time we don't even understand ourselves because, like you said, we're living all these other stories. We're living all these events that we think, you know, have created who we are, and they have nothing to do with who we actually are. You know, this life is really and truly an illusion. It's a pretend world. And you have to start to try to remember who you truly are and where you truly come from. And I had said this to Casey yesterday when we were sitting out on the patio. I said, you know, my husband and I had a conversation like, what's going on with everybody on this planet right now? You know, with all this stuff going on. And my husband actually said, you know, Kelly, I think it's because they've all let go of God, the belief of God, the understanding of God, you know, the universe, source energy, whatever it be, you know, everybody has kind of just forgotten suddenly that that doesn't exist. And we're now living in this egotistical world where everybody's punching everybody and everybody's criticizing everybody and everybody's saying that everybody's thought is wrong and their thought is right. And it's running an egotistical world that the ego is never wanting to be wrong. So who the hell is going to be the winner? Nobody. Nobody's going to win. And that's when you have to come back to spirit, like you said, Casey. And you have to remember that spirit is the winner. God is the winner. Universal energy, source energy is the winner. All this egotistical crap has no stance at all. And the second that you start to understand that and really implement that into your life, you can just start to let go of all of the things that have held so tightly to you, knowing that it was never you that actually created that story. It was never you. It was this, yes, it was this egotistical mind that created it all, but it was never this ever holding on to any of that. It's kind of like that whole thought of like, just be like water, you know, run like water through your life. You know, don't be a stone and don't be the tree. Don't be the rock, you know, the rock or the sand. Be the water. Flow through life. Let things go. Just move. Keep moving. And, you know, forgiveness is at the heart of, you know, spiritual greatness. I mean, if we can forgive things, then you're letting go of ego. You know, and you become spiritual greatness again. You become, and you identify with the spirit rather than with the self, I guess is what you could call it. You know, the ego is self. You know, you have all these identities. I am this person. My name is this. I live here. I was born here. I do this for work. I do that for this and that. And wake up call, none of that shit matters. None of it. Like this skin here, this hair, these fucking eyes. I'm going to just say it. You know, none of that stuff matters. It's not who you are. It's just a shell helping you get through this and learn these lessons in life. So forgive your insanity so that you can start to know you. Because if you are so caught up with everything and occupying your time with miscellaneous thoughts and harbored feelings and anger and, you know, I need to feel justified and I need to have this right. And, you know, my life matters more than your life. And you consume yourself with all of these thoughts and all of this hatred and you need to forgive me and I don't need to apologize to you and all these things. Then you're going to miss the chance of getting to know you in this lifetime. Because you're so occupied with how everybody else knows you. Let go of all this. Start to breathe again and bring yourself back to square one, where you started, where you will be when all this crap's over. Because none of it is going to go with you into that space. Like Casey talked about with the prodigal son and Adam and Eve. You're going to return to God. And he's going to have open, loving arms for you. And I'm sorry to say that. Even the person who holds someone at gunpoint and shoots the son of a bitch is still going to be given open arms. Because that egotistical being created that action, not the spirit. Never was it the spirit. Now, are we taken over by evil forces and are we, you know, all that, you know, evil and bad and no good? Yes, those things enter into this world. And they enter into this world because they are a testing device for your spirit, for your self-knowledge of your spirit. And God's just waiting to see how you do here. And when you return home, he will have a feast for you. Just like the prodigal son, you know, he got the robe, he got the feast, and his brother who was standing there the whole time was like, what the hell? You know what his father said?
Because his dad, yeah, he never kicked him out. He was not kicked out. You know, no. He left of his own free accord, which I believe, right. You know, we left. We created this world, you know, so he's like, hey, I'm just here hanging out. Like, whenever you come home, I'm here. You know, do your crazy things, but I know who you really are. You can't fool me. You'll never fool me. You can fool yourself, but you're never going to fool God. God, energy, source, knows exactly who you are. And when you tap into that, you know exactly who you really are.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, Casey, the other thing is too, is you need to figure out what in yourself needs forgiveness. You know, where do you need healing? Where do you need to find that? You know, was it a past lover that just totally damaged you? I think I told you about that story. I told you that story. I had a boyfriend who I just adored. We've been friends for like 10 years. And then we decided to be lovers. And he was so very important to me. We had a very special relationship, a really spiritual relationship. And I remember he left for India. And he was going to do some work with the children in India and also do some spiritual expansion and, you know, a lot of really cool things. And I remember he said, he called me after he'd been in India for 2 weeks. He was supposed to be only there three, I believe. And he called me after two and he said, Kelly, I'm going to stay. And I was like, what? Oh my gosh. You know, and I was just like totally broken, vomiting, like the relationship was over. I didn't know if I was ever going to see him again. I was just like, oh. you know, and I couldn't forgive myself for, you know, thinking that this was like the end all be all situation, and I couldn't forgive him, and I was just like so distraught. I never was cruel to him. I never said anything mean like, oh, how dare you, you son of a bitch. Like, come back and live my life. But
you might have thought it, but you didn't say it.
I thought it, but I didn't say it. And the thing is that it's, and you had said this, it's like, okay, but now, or even like 5 years ago, when you look back at it,
yeah,
it's like, how smart of him to go and pursue that life, to live that life. And when I did that, I think it was like 7-8 years ago when I gave that forgiveness finally to myself, you know, for being so like shut down about it and upset about it. And I gave him forgiveness too. It was like the whole thing just lifted. And it almost was like nurturing for all past relationships I had ever been in. You know, and anything I had ever done, because it was like, I'm giving forgiveness to myself for thinking I needed somebody to complete me. So, I mean, that's where your forgiveness is. Where is it? Have you always been searching for somebody to complete the self that you are because you don't know the spirit that you are? What are you looking for? And forgive that. You know, I had to forgive myself for thinking that he was the completion of me. And know that I am the completion of me. And it had nothing to do with him. And he was anything, if anything, he was a tool for me to discover that. And what a beautiful tool it was. You know, so, you know, those are things to think about. Stop blaming yourself and stop blaming others for everything. And just start to forgive yourself. Give yourself that true love and affection and care. And then the whole world will open up with space and wonderment for you.
I love what you just said, you know, give yourself the love, the care, because how you stand in that place is by being the unconditional love of God yourself, for right. self. You know, by being that, you're already in that space. You're in that vibration. You are home with God in that moment when you're yeah. being that. You know, you've already returned home, even while you're still in a 3D body doing your little avatar thing. You know, so I love how you said that. And I had mentioned to you, I wanted to tie in real quick the Moana story, because we both love yeah. that movie. Mm-hmm. And it's such a yeah. perfect representation for anyone who's seen the movie. If you haven't, watch it. It's amazing. I don't care how old or young you are. It's beautiful. And oh, yeah. you know, the part at the end where she's, you know, so she's kind of like the representation of you and your spirit. She's like the little spirit who's trying to get through. And so she's talking to the lava monster, you know, and she's like, I see you. I know who yeah. you really are. You know, that's the voice of spirit that's always calling to us.
Right.
And then when the volcano hears her, she transforms into this lush, green, peaceful, yeah. beautiful goddess back to who she was, the Garden of Eden. You know, she basically restores herself to being the Garden of Eden. You know, it's going back, it's being at home, it's knowing yourself as that beautiful, lush sense of God and love that, you know, nothing can touch and nothing can take it from you. The lava monster thought it had been taken away. She thought it was gone. She thought she was no longer the Garden of Eden, but she was wrong. She was always had that inside of her, always. And it just took listening to the voice of spirit to then embrace that again. You know, so she was being the representation of God. And that's how, you know, that's how you restore that is for right. yourself. Like we said, you're your own savior. You restore it for yourself. And then once you've done it for yourself, then you can put it out to the world, you know, and yes. do it for others in whatever ways call to you. But it always starts over here.
Yeah. And know that, you know, thoughts cannot overwhelm you when you know the truth of who you really are. They just can't. And this is where, you know, forgiveness is a huge thing. And I don't know about you, Casey, but I feel that, you know, I'm going to go back to meditation. It's the one space that you can just let go of everything. And even if it's for a minute, you know, just being in the being, shutting your eyes and bringing yourself inward and just letting go of everything around you. I know that people don't have time to do it, but you do have 30 seconds to a minute. To once time a day, just transcend yourself into this space of complete silence and bring inward and be with yourself. And I just have to say what my man Moji says, you know, just have to. I love this man. Be the one that wins yourself back. You know, we talked about that yesterday. Be the one that wins yourself back. Give yourself forgiveness. Win yourself back. Forget all the other stuff. It's all about winning you and being with you in this life. Because everything that you've done can be forgiven and will be forgiven. Everything. If you just live in the heart of God, live in that love and in that heart of God.
And going back to what you said last week, trust in it. And I think this wraps all the way back around to the beginning. No matter what you've done, you could say, oh, I have all this evidence why I can't trust myself. Or, you know, even down to the bottom, right? Adam and Eve, I can't trust myself, right? Like whatever aspects of you. So it's like it all loops back around. And when you forgive, you can finally trust yourself again. And I think that's the access. You know, if you don't have self-forgiveness, you are never going to trust yourself because you'll always have some evidence to point to. The ego will always be able to point to something and say, see, and what Moji was talking about in that video I watched today, which maybe we'll attach it at the bottom up here. But he was saying it's that doubt, you know, if you don't trust, you're always going to have that niggling of doubt, whether it's really loud or really quiet. You're always going to doubt. Right. You're going to doubt yourself. You're going to doubt your path. You're going to doubt what you're doing. Did I make the right choice? Did I not? Oh my gosh, why did I do that? Why? It's the judgment, you know, it's the constant judgment. And so, you know, that's the access to trust. And you had such a beautiful piece, you know, on trusting yourself last week. And that's the access. Because when you trust yourself, then you're living from that core. You're living from that heart, from that center. And then whatever steps you take, it's like, oh, great. You know, you have some give and take. You have some, oh, wow, you know, next time I'll maybe do this a little differently. Or, wow, I really held my center on that. And then every time you hold your center a little more and you hold your light just a little more, that trust builds and it builds and it builds. It builds. You know, I mean, I know you and I, Kelly, I mean, that is the journey we've been on, just building our trust bubble, you know, bit by bit. And now my trust bubble is way bigger than it was one year ago, 10 years ago, good Lord, 30 years ago, right? It's like, you know, so, and then that's the space you have to live in now. So it's so powerful. And I just love how it ties into what you said last week.
Yeah, and trust, when you say trust yourself, I mean, this is important too with everything that's going on right now. Trust yourself in what you're feeling.
Yes.
And stop joining others' egotistical thoughts and feelings. Go back to just you. Because I guarantee if you go into you, you know that your spirit wouldn't say half the shit that's going on right now. Wouldn't even think it, wouldn't believe it, wouldn't even want to be standing in it. Trust you. Stop going into the collective of this is how we all need to feel now. No. Feel how you need to feel. And stop judging everybody else and how they feel. It's not good for anybody. And least of all, it's not good for you.
It's going to come back, you know. Out there, it's all gonna come back. That's the hard part, you know. It's like
you're gonna wonder when you're 85 and you're fucking dying of something, where that disease came from. Trust yourself. Stop trusting everybody else. They're no good for what's going on with anything.
And here's, so I'll just link this in just right to the end, and then we'll do your passage.
Yes.
So I wanna hopefully I'll get around to it this week, recording another meditation. And what's cool about this one, it's pointing to what you're saying, Kelly.
Yeah.
So the point of the meditation is energetic sovereignty. And it's basically giving away, you know, clearing out of your field what isn't yours, return to sender, and then reclaiming the energies that you've scattered to the winds. You know, all this that you projected out. So you're clearing out and cleansing out what isn't yours, what does not belong in your energy field, what is not yours anymore, what does not fit with your voice. You know, only retain what's your voice, clear everything else out. And then bringing in these scattered parts of you, almost like, you know, your inner child, these little pieces that you've just scattered out that want to come back home. You know, it's kind of like bringing the pieces and parts of yourself. And a lot of it are the pieces and parts that you haven't forgiven, that don't feel welcome, that don't feel safe, that are terrified. You as God are judging them and they don't want to come home. You know, they're scared to come home, or they're justified in not coming home, or they just don't even know how to get home. They don't even know they're not home. And so here's, I brought this up before, it's this book called, and I just gave it to Kelly for her birthday, called The Sovereignty of Love. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Okay. And what's really cool, so we briefly mentioned, Kelly mentioned a mantra she uses, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And that's from a practice called Ho'oponopono that's out of Hawaii. And it's actually an ancient forgiveness practice that they used to, they would use when two people needed to resolve something, or a whole group, a whole tribe needed to resolve something, that everyone got a voice, everyone got to be heard, there was kind of a mediator. So it was this whole process. And then a woman, I'm not currently remembering her name, but in the last century, she kind of created it so that you could do it yourself. You know, it was called self-identity through Ho'oponopono. So it wasn't necessarily getting together with a group of people to resolve something, but it was doing all that resolution within yourself, with the inner work, which is so much what we talk about. And then a gentleman that learned from her kind of developed it, Dr. Hugh Len, into this mantra. That's very, so he kind of distilled it all into this very simplified version. You know, that you just very compassionately and with total presence. I mean, you can say the mantra watching television. If you're seeing something on television that's perhaps anything that destroys your lack of peace, is when you can use this mantra. Anything. Whether it's something you're watching on TV, somebody's saying something to you and you just want to, you know, grow your bubble and clear your space out. You know, just, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And sometimes you don't even know what's being forgiven, what needs to be forgiven. It doesn't matter. Your mind does not have to figure all this out. Sometimes just the energy of it is enough. But the thing that I really, that I've loved about this book, she kind of took the Ho'oponopono mantra and just tweaked it just a little bit in a beautiful way. And, you know, it just shows you, make it what you want it to be, make up your own. But I've used hers a lot. It's, I love you, thank you, please come home to love. And this is the piece that I was just saying. And then sometimes I tweak it a little bit to say, welcome home to love. And so I do it a lot when I'm calling in, you know, I'm calling in these pieces of me that I have not been accepting. The ones like, oh gosh, I wasn't even aware that I was judging myself for that. You know, just calling in all these beautiful parts of me that want to come back home. You know, I love you. Thank you. Please come home to love. Please come home. It's safe. I'm here. And then I was kind of playing, you know, recently with like, hey, the energies that aren't mine, like, hey, go home to love. Go home. You are free. Thank you for your service. Thank you. You know, just blessing them. I bless you on your way. You know, go with God. You know, that kind of thing. So it's like, send out the energies that don't belong to you. Call in the energies that you want to reclaim and, you know, reground yourself in. And then just the, oh, welcome back. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, welcome home. You know, welcome home. Welcome home to love. So, and I'll just read, here's what she says about this mantra. So you're saying, I love you, to the painful memory that has been triggered, the injured part of yourself that is needing love and causing you dissonance, whether emotional, mental, or physical. Thank you is to the injured, vulnerable part of yourself for revealing itself and gifting you with the opportunity to heal. And then the please come home to love invites the dissonant, stuck energy of the memory to return back into the resonance of love. You know, so it's kind of, it's almost bringing resolution to your story. This is part of how you can begin to rewrite your stories, rewrite the story of your life, you know, rewrite the story you're living into, right? The story you're living into is either going to look a lot like yesterday and 10 years ago, or you're going to be creating it using a new voice, using a new narrator of your story, the voice of spirit, you know? So it's just play with it, but you are the creator of your story. You are the creator of how you're narrating your own life. And it's like we said, a lot of times the same thing can happen. You know, what happened can be neutral, but who narrates the story makes all the difference. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen to you in your life. You're going to be creating them. The collective is creating them. They're coming at you. You're weaving through it. But how you narrate the story makes such a difference. And if you weave your story with self-forgiveness and do it as often as you can, because the more often you do it, the less you have to backtrack, you know? So do it, be in the present moment as much as you can. And, you know, kind of use it as like a fun challenge and just notice like, wow, when I'm more forgiving of myself, do I feel more compassionate towards others? Do I feel, does it make me feel differently in life? You know, maybe kind of play with it.
I love it.
Awesome.
So much more peaceful than my delivery.
Oh, You're awesome.
You know, that's when the Irish Italian comes out, just that fighting mother effort, you know?
Seriously. And like I was saying, like, we do not want some homogenous, like, la la. This is not what we came here for. We came here for the fun and the fire. And it's like, love can be fiery, love can be fierce, you know? Like, and that's why we're here. We don't want everyone to say everything the same, to have some homogenized society where we all say the same things in the same tone of voice. Like, that's no fun, right? We came here to be different personalities, to be different avatars, to play and weave in and out. And it's like, then you can start to have fun with that. So I love your delivery.
Yeah. I mean, come back to yourself like a damn ball of fire. Yeah. Oh, use as much profanity as you need. Okay. Whatever it takes, just get there. Yeah.
God doesn't care. God really doesn't judge you for cussing, really.
Exactly. No, he's not going to. He's just, God's going to laugh his ass off when I return.
Seriously, like, that's the thing. I truly, hey, God source energy has a sense of humor.
Okay? Oh, you bet.
And the more you have a sense of humor, like, that's a really good access to God's source energy right there.
You bet. Enjoy yourselves. Have fun going back to you and forgiving you. You know, you can like knock yourself in the head. You dumb mother, Ed, you know?
Seriously.
So, all right. Well, I guess I'll read the passage, which is definitely not full of cuss words. My guides are a little bit more professional than I.
I know, right? Oh, that's so funny.
I know, right? All right, so we'll read this. All right, here we go. Dear ones, to stand in the presence of forgiveness is to stand in the world of God. Without forgiveness, we have nothing. There is no shape to our lives, only flattened space of hatred and resentment. Who can defy who more? Who can hurt the next person worse than the last? All the while diminishing who you are here. We did not equip you with knives, guns, or hatred. This is all learned behavior that we wish for you to one day unlearn. Use your greatest weapon, love. It will mend all wounds, it will cure all disease, and it will stop all wars. And this love will allow you to relish and birth life into your souls. We understand that these times are trying here on your planet, and we also know that there is no greater beings in existence than you. The complications of what is and isn't are chatter in your minds and not in your hearts. You must live in the heart of your being, that feeling of greatness, that feeling of happiness, that feeling of contempt and ease. This is who you are. This is who you came here to remember. This earth is a place of trial, of tests, of measures that are great in their depth of pain, sorrow, and hatred. You knew this before you arrived. You saw it all. And still, you arrived. You arrived to spread greatness, to spread forgiveness without question nor answer. You arrived to develop quickly and efficiently into conscious awareness. To awaken to God, even in the most trying of times, is difficult. But you can do this. Stop shattering into millions of pieces when the lightning strikes. Instead, find your ground. Find your inner peace, your inner knowing, and stay in the place of ease and love. The lightning will stop because it can't break you. And eventually, it will not even be able to find you. Do not let this break you. Let this birth give birth to you. Let this be the greatest accomplishment of your existence. To find the love and to find the power in all that you are, even in all the rubble that is around you. We are with you. We are here. We love you and we cherish you, your guided source. Okay.
Wow.
I know. I will write that and put it on our site.
Wow.
Yeah. They kind of like summed up everything we talked about.
Seriously, I don't have anything else to say. Then again, if, you know, there's any feedback you have or any topic you'd like us to dive into, please do feel free to reach out to us. We always enjoy hearing from you. Wow, that was a perfect conclusion.
Yeah, and thank you for being with us tonight and always being open and ready for anything that is coming your direction. I mean, we really appreciate your presence. I mean, we're here for you as much as you are here for us. So we appreciate it. We love all of you. enjoy your evening, your day, or whenever it is that you listen to this, and forgive yourself. Yes. That's my wand of magic.
I do it. I work on it every day till the day I die.
Exactly. All right, and we'll see you guys. We'll take the next week off, and then we'll be back in 2 weeks. Yeah, two weeks.
That would be perfect. Right. We love you. Okay.